coming up only to hold you under, and coming up only to show you wrong. And to know you is hard, and we wonder. To know you all wrong, we wonder.
Okay, so yesterday we had to lay to rest the 2015-2016 season for the George Mason Patriots. Chris, can you say a few words?
It was an emotional year. Had its highs, had its lows.
And what were its highs?
Well, obviously the Charleston Classic,
right?
Beating Oklahoma State, beating Ole Miss, playing UVA. That was probably
and
our high.
Lows.
Beating VCU,
okay,
was a high.
Okay.
The lows, definitely losing to Colgate, losing to some of these Bama teams. I mean, we lost to some garbage.
And so how about losing our third Wednesday game of the A-10 tournament in a row?
That's the lowest of the low.
We have
to
reached
St. Louis.
The lowest. So we just want to lay to rest this season. Looking forward to next. We are very optimistic. But we want to tell you a little bit about our Wednesday experience, because we are covering the A-10 tournament all weekend long. We got press passes. They're very official.
Very official.
They're not the like nubby paper ones that Mason gives you. They're like actually plastic.
They're laminated. Yeah, big time.
So now we're kind of feeling fresh. So we're covering it. But Wednesday, we couldn't get off work to come. Unfortunately, Mason played at 6:30. So
it's tough to make it to Brooklyn 6:30 on a Wednesday. People are working. I get it. But either way, we missed a loss.
So. Right. And so what we attempted to do, because we are still very good Mason fans, we actually watched it on our phone on the bus Wi-Fi. And Chris, how was that experience?
It was nubby.
It was terrible. You couldn't tell who we couldn't tell anything. The best part was that we brought some Evan Williams on the bus and we were mixing it with ginger ale, and by the end we were getting bent.
Right. And then also, just I want to touch on the European guy.
This is a good story.
There's a guy, went to the bathroom, blew it up, came out of the bathroom, went up to the bus driver, asked him a question, walked back to the bathroom, did something. I think he asked him, how do you flush the toilet? And so it just reeked the whole bus up.
Bus smelled like emoji poo.
Right.
It was so nasty.
But either way, through all that, we're still watching the game.
Still having a good time. Can't wait to get to Brooklyn.
But the game itself, we fell down early, classic Mason. We shot 1 of 12 from three. In the first half, we were committing turnovers. We weren't forcing many turnovers. We out-rebounded them by 20 rebounds. But the difference was the three-point shooting. They shot
Tell us what they've shot 12. The last two games, because that's even more impressive. I think it was like 25 for 37.
Right.
Something nutty.
Right.
And so they were just shooting out of control from behind the arc.
Yeah.
And they continued it today. I mean, if it wasn't for their three-point shooting today,
they would have been blown out.
Yeah,
by
versus GW. Mm-hmm. And so I actually think we would have gotten blown out versus GW, considering the last time we played GW, they blew us out.
Right.
And they looked pretty well coached and prepared today. But just our game, there's really nothing to touch on. We actually scored 50 plus points in the second half, which I don't know if we've done that yet this season, but it was 106.
I think against St. Louis we did.
Right, when we had 92
points.
So, but there was 106 combined points in the second half, and we needed to come out. I think we were down 11.
Mm-hmm.
And we tied it at 48-48. We were excited. We thought we had a chance, but it just all kind of fell apart, and we turned the ball over too much and couldn't hit free throws. Missing the front end of one-on-ones will always kill you.
We had five or six guys finishing double digits.
Right.
I mean, it was a balanced game.
We just couldn't play
Everyone
D.
Everyone got their minutes. Yeah,
what are we not? Do we not D. close out well? Are we not coached well defensively? What do you think it is?
I'm thinking we need to force more turnovers, play the pressure D. And where was it?
Correct me if I'm wrong, but we're dead last in the entire NCAA Division I in fast break turnover points, or?
That is correct.
So, I mean, dead last. I mean, we can't close out well. We don't pressure the ball. And then we come here, we watch games all day today. There's full court press.
Every team that won played pressure D. Whether Richmond was playing it late.
Whether you're up big or you're down four. I mean, we were down four with 4 minutes to go. At least try to force maybe a 5 second call. Maybe you don't trap. Maybe you don't really commit to the full court D, but just kind of hurry them up. Maybe make them make a mistake. It doesn't even have to be because you're doing something right. Sometimes you just put people in bad spots and they make mistakes.
Right. So needless to say, we're angry on the bus.
Oh, we were angry.
Right. We didn't want to drive, 4 hours on a shitty smelling bus just to, not cover Mason. Either way, we lost. Fine. Congrats to Marco, Shevin, Michael Rudy, Julian Royal.
We'll miss you.
Yeah. You guys were great.
I really grew to like Marco and Shevin. And right. I've been rooting for Rudy to get minutes for 4 years. I mean, I don't ever want him to play unless we're down by 30 or up by 30. But, right. It's always fun to root for him to come off the bench and give us some energy. Rudy. But seniors are gone. We've lost. And guess what? We're still here and we're covering the rest of the A-10 tournament. Luckily enough, my brother, Chris Larry, lives in Brooklyn and it's walking distance from Barclays, so we have a nice free stay. We can walk back and forth
and we're in a nice part of the neighborhood. Get this, Hillary Duff lives right down the street,
and I must say she's kind of smoking.
Did you see her? Or are you just going off Google pics?
I mean, I've been watching
Lizzie McGuire.
I was watching, I was fapping to Lizzie McGuire. Like
she was 12 then.
Well, I was probably 12.
I guess that's legal.
No, but we're in a great area. We're excited. We can't wait for the games tomorrow. We went today. It was my first experience going into Barclays.
Really cool. I mean, it's the newest arena, I think, in American sports. So, right. It has all the nice bells and whistles, really nice architecture. Everything just looks really cool about it. So, yeah, today we did see two games. We watched Richmond take out Fordham. Fordham had a nice home court advantage. Richmond played very well. They were expected to win. They won. Same with GW. They just were bigger than St. Louis.
The freshman of the year, what was his name?
Oh, God. Chuck Cartooney.
Chuck, okay. Cartooney. And he, in the first half...
He takes a lot of shots.
In the first half, I mean, you could tell why he won freshman of the year. He had 17 points. He came out the second half very flat.
He tanked.
Tried to get to the bucket a lot, fell, tried to draw the foul, but didn't get it. And I think he finished with 1 point in the second half. And I was all ready to tweet out to all the Mason fans who were saying Otis got snubbed, being like, yeah, right. But,
Yeah, he's not bad.
Right. I mean, we'll see.
Yeah.
But Fordham, they tanked down the stretch.
Nice season. They were nothing last year. So
right. And they finished 500
kind
plus.
Kind of where we want to be next year.
Oh, I would
finish
love
with an 8
that.
Seed. Yeah.
And have a Thursday game.
Right.
And so what other game do we watch?
The GW game.
GW. And
we already sort of talked about that.
Right.
The big boys really carried them. Kavanaugh, Larson. What's the Asian guy?
Who knows?
Yamamoto.
I can't pronounce it.
Either way.
It actually sounds kind of jerk.
They beat them so bad they fired the St. Louis coach 5 minutes after the game.
Man,
damn.
We were sitting in the media dinner, and I heard this other guy say, "Man, did you see St. Louis coach got fired right after the game?" And I was like, "Ah, why'd we skip that press conference?" So
right, we could actually go in the locker room. Have you read these things?
Right.
Yeah.
We should go in the locker room, see what it's like.
I mean, if that's what you want to see.
Maybe we could kick it with Jay-Z.
If he's there.
Spike Lee.
Perhaps.
So it's been awesome. The place is awesome. We have full access to everywhere that we want to go.
Right. So tomorrow we will cover the four games that are going to be played. Better teams will be playing. So tomorrow we're going to have Richmond versus Dayton. Obviously, Dayton's the favored to win that game. They're the number one overall seed. And then we have St. Joe's versus George Washington. I think everyone expects St. Joe's, but who knows? And then the second half of that bracket, VCU and St. Bonaventure, we're still determining the teams that they're going to play. So
right.
We'll find out tomorrow.
Right. We are recording this at 8:15 on Thursday night.
8:16, actually.
Okay, excuse me.
It's 8:16.
So real quick, before we move on to our next segment, which is going to be, in case you're still around or maybe you're a UMass fan listening.
No one's listening. Okay. Oh, that, yeah.
He might listen. That, yeah. We met a guy. He seemed very interested. Maybe he wants, actually, he lives in Brooklyn, so he would probably tell us where to go. But hey, we are going to let you know where we will be at tomorrow and where we think you should go if you're going to grab some drinks beforehand or you're just in town and you want to eat somewhere good.
Right.
We got Professor Larry who's going to join us, and he's going to tell us all about it. So stay tuned. Second segment coming up. Okay, guys, so I'm in here in studio with my niece, Amelia Lawrence. Amelia, can you say hi?
Hi.
All right. Also, tell us a little bit about what you're doing at recess. I heard you've been playing some basketball. What skills are you working on?
I'm trying to get the basketball in the hoop.
Oh, nice. And have you scored yet?
Never.
But have you gotten close?
Yeah.
All right, well, keep trying. High five. Guess what? Guess what Uncle B does?
What?
I do a podcast about George Mason basketball. Can you tell them the name of our podcast?
By George.
Oh, and have you heard an episode yet?
Yes.
And is it awesome?
Yes.
And should people listen?
Yes.
And do you love it?
Yes.
All right, guys, that's my niece. Stay tuned, segment two.
Followed by George, biatch. But it's so cold and I don't know where. I brought daffodils on a pretty string,
but they won't flower like the flowers. Welcome back. We're here with Chris Lawrence, brother of what?
There's two Chris's now?
Yes.
Oh.
I'm a Chris. He's a Chris.
There's a lot of Chris's.
A lot of Chris's. A lot of Lawrence's here, too. There's two Lawrence's.
There's two Lawrence's as well.
Wow.
So Chris has been...
Which Chris?
Chris Lawrence.
Okay. Not me.
Has been gracious enough to allow us to stay in his pad. And nice. So we're going to ask him for some recommendations on where to go in Brooklyn if you are pre-gaming or post-gaming for the A10 tournament, if you just want to get some dinner, or maybe you are just in Brooklyn visiting and you're listening to By George podcast.
Yeah, whatever the hell you're doing, he's going to give you some tips. So, all
right. So welcome Chris Lawrence to By George podcast.
Thanks for having me. If it makes it easier, you can just call me Claw.
Okay. Claw. I like that. All right. Where should we go tomorrow for a brunch spot before the first game?
Brunch. We're not bougie. Like, come on.
Wow.
You're not
okay.
DC, buddy.
So we're not.
Do you have your pink tutu? Brunch. Ladies at brunch. It was this Sex in the City over here. Miranda?
My bottomless mimosas. How about we just get like a breakfast, you know.
What about a breakfast sandwich?
Sausage.
Like a bagel, you know, place.
Bacon.
Something that we can start our day off
with. Like how a guy would start, you know, his day.
Well, the bagel places are everywhere. So, you know, there's no, where you're staying right in here, there's like two bagel places real close. But pretty much everywhere, any corner bodega, any standard
bagel
place.
So there's no trouble finding a good
bagel.
So essentially that first question tanked.
Yeah, between brunch and like, hey, how do I get a bagel up in here in New York City? You're not
like,
not off to
like, you're asking
a flying
like a,
start.
Yeah, someone who lives in the forest, where are the trees? They're all around you. I mean,
okay. Where should we drink? Where should we party?
Yeah, I want to get a stiff drink right next to Barclays.
So the thing to do, which actually crushes my soul, is there's a kind of cheesy Irish pub called McMahon's Public House. It's literally right across the street from Barclays. And
what makes this place tight?
It's not that tight, to be honest with you. But it's but it's right. It's literally right there, and it's just like a bar.
Okay.
The problem for it for me, it's good. It's good. They have the games will be on. The TV is ever. It's catering to this crowd. But it's in the old space that was this legendary old man dive bar, O'Connor's, that had been there for about 100 years and where I spent a good amount of my early years, let's call it. A lot of firsts, lots of excitement. So that place, old man Pat O'Connor, croaked it. His son totally screwed the pooch, and now it's McMahon's Public House.
And it's tough.
Is there Sillies at this place, or is it an?
Yeah,
older
that's what I'm saying. Like it'll be that kind of good time for pounding beers and stiff drinks around. It's spitting distance from Barclays, which is, you know, why the guy knew it was gold when he jumped on this basically old man bar.
Right.
But this bar, Henry Miller drank in this bar. O'Connor's, the bar that it took over. Elliot Smith, like basically months before suicide. So it's got a a lot of history, man. And now it's just like this total like meathead beer hall.
I kind of want to retrace the steps of Elliot Smith moments before his suicide.
it was maybe a little time in between there, but it was a great bar. And it was a great bar. So I'm sad about that, but it is your best place for convenient drinking.
What about the night's over, it's midnight, and say we kind of want to go out in Brooklyn. Where do we go? Like, what's like a hip place where, you know, it's...
Chris and I can be like grinding on Sillies.
No.
Okay, well...
but more of like a hipster bar, like something that's cool, I guess, or trendy.
I don't know how comfortable I am talking about you grinding on Sillies. you know, like I feel like I should defend the honor of my sister-in-law.
Yeah, she's not here.
Hopefully, you know,
she's not listening.
Come on. Anyway, to Chris's question, you guys actually mentioned it on the earlier podcast where I'd say Union Hall is a good time.
Mm-hmm.
So definitely with the bocce courts, big bar. They have bands and stuff in the in the basement level.
Tight.
Couple places right around here. A place called High Dive, which is just a couple blocks where you guys are staying, and not that far from Barclays. You know, about the same amount of walk from here to Barclays, essentially. That strip has a couple decent bars. If you want to go a little bit further down, I'd recommend two places. This might be a bus ride or a short cab, or on a night like tonight, maybe a long walk. But a place called Commonwealth.
Commonwealth? I like that, Virginia.
Owned by the same guy that owns the High at Highline. High Dive, excuse me.
Okay.
Awesome jukebox. Every entry in the jukebox is basically a mixtape. So there's like literally thousands of songs, but someone that chosen them lovingly, not some bullshit internet got every song nonsense. You know, it just means you hear Garth Brooks and other nonsense that people want to play. So great jukebox. Also, I got to give a shout out the old bartender, my man Bart DeCourcy from the O'Connor's days.
Bart DeCourcy?
He opened up a restaurant and bar that's called Sidecar, which is actually just about a block or two from Commonwealth. So it's a good 1-2 punch.
I'm trying to get that real gentrified feel. You know, like there was some culture here and now they're putting up some new buildings. What? And like the buildings are nice and hipster and new. And
why do
like
you want that? We're not in Williamsburg.
Yeah, you're in the wrong part of Brooklyn for that.
We better hop a bus across Brooklyn.
But Union Hall's similar to that. That's got a bit of that vibe.
Yeah.
And I think we're going to head to Sidecar here in about a few minutes. I mean, every time we go to Sidecar, Bart always treats us right. And so Chris Jones has never been there, and so I think here in a couple of minutes we're about to go turn up at Sidecar. And so, you know, I want to give a plug to Bart.
Famous fried chicken.
Oh, the fried chicken is banging.
Wow.
All right, so now we're going to segue away from what you should do while you're here at the A10 tournament, because I know all of our listeners are no longer here as we got bounced early and all of our fans are gone. So we're going to segue to one of our interests that we all have, and that is the Washington Redskins. Chris Lawrence, tell us what you think about our free agency so far.
Yeah, all the notable signings.
Yeah, it's crickets. So, which is a good thing, right? We're not spending like sailors on shore leave. You know, we're not doing the Santa tracker on Redskins 1 all across the country. So I count that as a win.
And it's kind of hard because we've grown accustomed to getting excited for free agency and that like signing at 12 a.m. And now we don't have it and we want it. And so I'm stuck in this limbo.
I kind of have like this nostalgic feel of, you know, I want that guy that costs like 100 mil, even though he's worth like 20 mil, but we overpay the, you know, shit out of him.
At least give us like
we give him like 60 mil guaranteed and he ends up becoming like a complete flop. Like those are our signings.
Kind of like Steven.
Hashtag Vinny Serato.
He tanked. But I just want a signing. I would love to see a safety. I know there's already been a couple safeties who have left the market. I'm still waiting for that 24.
You know who never makes any signings though? Like the Packers.
Right.
They stay pat.
And he's a Packers product, so I don't think we should be expecting huge free agencies, but we have like $30 million free.
Built through the draft. Right. Hold the cash.
But for what? Are we looking to pay Reed?
Who knows? I mean,
well, you got some stuff. Well, first of all the you know, walk of shame guys get signed in the first 48 hours, you know? Yeah. It's like you don't get past the tug job with Albert Haynesworth, you know, big deal. So, you know, look at what guys do like days four or five, a couple weeks in. I mean, look at Scott with one T, what he did even into the season when you think of the guys he signed. So I trust in Scott. He'll figure it out. You got it. Free agency nowadays is about the bargain hunting. And if extra cap room means he can pick up five or six more bargains, awesome.
You're not getting a bargain day one. No one's ever gotten a bargain day one. You're overspending day one. Everyone's getting the flashy, you know, I'm the number one, you know, whatever. But you're going to get your true value the day two, day three, day four. You know, the guys are getting desperate. They're going to settle for contracts.
And look around the NFC East, what the other teams are doing. I mean, the Giants, they just spent more in guaranteed money this year than they had in the last five seasons. And Chris Lawrence made a good point, and he said that the GM knows that his job is on the line.
Yeah. Yeah, he's got to win now, Jerry Reese. It was basically a power play between him and Grampy. What the hell's his name?
Tom Coughlin.
Yeah, Grampy Tom Coughlin.
Can't find a job.
Looks like Coach O.
So Jerry Reese knows the pressure's on. He's out. And so if he's going to go for broke, he's out either way after a year, and then he doesn't have to clean up the mess of all those contracts.
So the one interesting stat that was brought up earlier this week about free agency is that of last year's free agent crop, only five made the Pro Bowl. Out of what seemed to be like 200 Pro Bowlers, only five actually were free agents the previous year. So it doesn't really equate to, you know, talent or a good signing. A lot of these guys were flops.
Right.
And like maybe GMs are starting to see that and they're holding back. But some of these teams making moves, it's like, I get the Jags. Like, they're a few defensive players away from being actually relevant.
But how many mistakes are the Dolphins going to make in free agency?
Right. Good luck.
I mean, they just took on Maxwell's contract, and
they still have, like,
Kiko Alonso.
Right.
Kiko!
But with the Redskins, I think, honestly, I like our young guys. I don't want anyone coming in and taking Preston Smith's snaps. I don't want anyone taking...
Okay, so you're cool with the quiet.
What's the slot corner? Keyshawn Jarrett. I loved him. You know, I loved those young guys. So I'm actually excited to just build from the draft, build our young players, coach them right, and start to build a team the right way. And so, yeah, free agency is not flashy.
And have guys in their prime.
Right.
You know?
Not the
Quit
end.
Getting
like,
the 35-year-old washed-up Ryan Clark.
How much did we give Jason Hatcher? Wow. He tanked. He couldn't last past, like, week seven.
Well, the thing is, though, they did cut a lot of those guys just recently. So they're... You know, they may have been long in the tooth or whatever, but they did gash some players off this team. So those things aren't going to be solely covered by the draft. So they cut deep on some of those things. They are going to have to add some gamers, you know, some 3, 4, 5, 5th-year guys, guys that might be out of favor in the systems that are run in their home team and pick up bargains that way.
Yep, and so we're excited for the next couple of days of free agency. Not a lot of activity thus far. But in Scott, we trust. I think all three of us agree on that one.
Yep.
I think Chris Long's a Redskin. Book it.
Chris Long. Who else? So we're looking at the one dude, Andre
Branch.
Andre Branch. He got
flop.
He actually has a good amount of sacks for not being a starter. And then we're looking at Vernon Davis. I'm
flop.
Nah, that's a courtesy move by his boy Scott with one T to be able to be brought in and get a fake market. That's never going to happen.
Ooh, he's a local boy.
We don't need another pass catcher. I mean, maybe we do.
No, we don't.
I know, we don't.
We have Jordan Reed and Niles
Paul. Like Niles. So,
No, they need blocking tight ends.
Right. Who's the big one?
Logan Paulson. I think he's gone.
I don't know.
We'll find out.
He'll be so cheap.
Right.
Right. He's going to be so desperate. What are the teams going to pick him up?
Nobody. Right. He looks like a Viking, though.
He's so slow. He ran like a 7.9.
I think we're also interested in Reggie Nelson, 31-year-old safety from the Bengals, who actually had 8 interceptions last season and had himself. Holy,
what?
Yeah.
8?
Mm-hmm. One hell of a season last season.
But
so.
At 31, he had to have been doing something.
pulling a A-Rod.
Pulling a Peyton or something. Yeah.
Okay, picks. So you know that's our thoughts on free agency. As we said, it hasn't been that exciting, but 3 Redskins fans here, all pretty excited about Scott's progress and what he's done with the Redskins so far.
Totally.
So that's the end of our podcast. We would like to thank Chris Larry for his hospitality and letting us stay here in Brooklyn.
Hey man, it was a real honor to host the By George Empire. I've been loving the podcasts, loving the social media onslaught. If these bum teams could ever live up to the quality of By George, you guys might have something.
Right, that's what we think. But
all right, podcast number 7. We out.
Bye.
So I can follow you. And you, such a fearless soul. The